have some breaking news, though, stateside. You've been hearing, we've been reporting on the longest government shutdown in US history. And I am pleased to share with you that it is over. It has ended. Let's find out the details and speak to LBC's Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. This is a pivotal moment, Simon.
Well, it certainly is, Jim. It's a moment for the history books. Day 43 of the US government shutdown, far and away the longest in history, and it is finally over. There has just been a vote in the House of Representatives by 222 to 209. The House voted in favour of approving a measure that was voted upon earlier in the United States Senate, and as a result of that, this shutdown is now coming to an end. There's one remaining formality. President Trump has to sign it into law, this stopgap funding measure. And we know that he's going to be doing that at the White House in the next hour or so. An important moment for him at the end of what has been a very, very complicated day because of the revelations contained in some of those emails pertaining to his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein that were suddenly leaked by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee earlier today. But President Trump hoping now, I think, to turn things around by reminding Americans that he has consistently called this the Democratic Party's government shutdown, and it has only ended because Democrats in the Senate, eight of them, crossed party lines and, to the fury of many of their fellow party members, voted with the Republicans to bring this shutdown to an end, essentially capitulating to White House demands, because they managed to eke out hardly any concessions from the Republicans in the measure that they decided to back. And indeed, the concessions that they did manage to wring out of the Republicans, frankly, they could have wrung out of them a very long time ago. So as soon as President Trump signs this measure into law, that will end this shutdown once and for all and put it behind the country. That means that tomorrow in the United States, federal government workers, civil servants, hundreds of thousands of them who have been furloughed for 43 days have missed now two pay periods because federal government workers get paid every 2 weeks here in the United States. They will be back at their desks and they will be hoping very rapidly to be receiving back pay for the 43 days that they have spent off the clock. There are still, though, some questions pertaining to all of this. Is President Trump truly going to rehire every single one of the civil servants that he fired, not just furloughed, but fired when this shutdown began? The Democrats believe that he has agreed to that. There may be some. There was a suggestion earlier today that perhaps as many as 6,000 people wouldn't be covered by that guarantee. But the biggest question that remains is, when will the flying public be able to return to travel without the risk of substantial amounts of flights being cancelled here in the United States? Remember that over the weekend we saw collectively about 6,000 flights Friday, Saturday and Sunday being cancelled because so many air traffic controllers were not showing up for work because they weren't getting paid, and some of them had gone out and found second jobs in order just to keep some cash coming into their homes and to put food on the table. Well, the Transportation Department said tonight that it is freezing its cut in flights, but it says it's going to maintain a 6% reduction in the number of flights at 40 airports nationwide, rather than what they had planned to do if the shutdown continued, raising it to 8%. And we don't know how long this freeze, with 40 airports still enduring cancelled flights, is going to last. There are some suggestions here that perhaps the general shortage in air traffic controllers, even before the government shutdown, that was causing great angst for the travelling public and for the Federal Aviation Administration, may be playing in a into a decision to extend the slowdown in the number of flights for an extended period. So we're very unclear as to what's happening there, but there is no promise yet by the Transportation Secretary to lift those cancellations and the throttling back of flights out of 40 airports across the country, including all three here in Washington, D.C. So the lingering effects of this may go on for a while, at least in the transportation sector. But in other areas of government, those hundreds of thousands of civil servants need to start thinking about getting a reasonably early night, because they'll be up in the morning and heading back to their offices.
Absolutely. And with this longest shutdown in US history, who do the public hold responsible? Has it hit the poll rating of Donald Trump?
Well, I think there's no question that the President of the United States, whose party controls both houses of Congress, is carrying at least some of the blame for this government shutdown. After all, if you are, you know, if your political party controls the White House and the Senate and the House of Representatives and the government shuts down, it is logical that members of the public will say, how come you weren't able to keep the government open? But Democrats, too, are being faulted over this, and they have, I think, to a considerable degree played into President Trump's hands. He can legitimately say, you see, this is what it took to get the government reopened, to peel eight Democrats away from their party leadership in the Senate, bring them over to the Republican side. And if only they'd done this 42 days ago, you know, the shutdown could have been done and dusted in the space of 24 hours. We are definitely now seeing the nascent stages of civil war within the Democratic Party. There is absolute fury among grassroots Democrats, particularly among progressives on the left, that those Democrats who have chosen to vote with the Republicans in both the Senate and now the House have settled for very thin gruel from the White House and from Republicans. I think over the weekend, it wasn't just the flight delays that was piling pressure on Democrats, but also the fact that America's poorest citizens, those relying on food stamps and other nutritional assistance programs, were not receiving the full benefits to which they were entitled. There were real questions about hunger facing families among America's poorest citizens all over the country. That added pressure on the Democrats to compromise. But there is absolute fury within the Democratic Party towards those people who crossed party lines, and also towards the party's leader, with several Democrats now, a growing number, calling for Chuck Schumer, the party's leader in the United States Senate, to stand aside, and real anger over the fact that the Democrats, essentially 1 week after they were celebrating those victories in the country's off-year elections, have delivered President Trump a bit of a gift, the ability to say to the country, if you think that I'm responsible for the government shutdown, you should rethink it, because it was the Democrats we've said consistently that started it, and now it's the Democrats who are ending it by deciding to vote with us. So they've got a real problem explaining all of this to their own voters and to the country at large. But at the end of the day, it's also worth remembering, this is only a stopgap measure. It only keeps the government open now until January the 31st. So grab your calendars, put a note in your diary. I guarantee you that at the end of January, we are going to be doing this all over again, as America lurches from one government funding crisis to a next. The possibility of another shutdown at the end of January, in early February, and it is worth remembering, this is the only major country, the only developed, economically developed democracy in the world that goes through this.
And lastly, you touched on it earlier about Donald Trump and these files relating to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, Donald Trump will not like the front page of the Financial Times this morning, because there is a picture, an archive picture, of the two men smiling together. There's been a big file drop. What more can you tell us about it?
Well, we know that the files that were originally dropped today by the Democrats, you know, selective emails that they put out, raise a whole raft of fresh questions about the nature of Donald Trump's friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, including claims that he spent several hours in the company of one of the alleged victims of the sex trafficking operation put together by Jeffrey Epstein and, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell, who is currently petitioning the president for a commutation of her jail sentence, although the White House said today that the president is not giving any thought to that at the moment. And indeed, it would have been a terrible look if she'd said anything other than that. The White House position is that this is all a hoax. It's all a smear. It's all designed by the Democrats to divert attention away from the fact that President Trump has triumphed and managed to get the government reopen. I notice that tonight we've received a rundown of President Trump's plans for Thursday here in the United States. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're rolling out Melania Trump. The president and the first lady will be participating in an executive order signing in the White House East Room at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here. That's 7 o'clock in the evening London time. We don't often see Melania Trump at the White House, not least because Donald Trump has now demolished her office. I mean, she, you know, her office was in the East Wing. Well, that's completely gone. But tomorrow, of all days, the day after the revelations contained in those Epstein emails, Melania Trump is going to participate in an executive order signing alongside her husband at the White House. I think that may tell you more than anything else about the way in which the White House is interpreting what happened today and the need to try and put distance between Donald Trump and this trove of emails that is only underscoring the fact that he's got a problem with this Jeffrey Epstein story. Also, Jim, just briefly worth noting that the White House, we now know, asked one of the MAGA Republicans, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado, who have been demanding that the White House release all the Epstein files, and we may well see a vote in the House of Representatives for that to happen very soon now. The government is reopening. She was invited into a White House meeting that apparently was held in the Situation Room and included the Attorney General Pam Bondi and the FBI Director Kash Patel. Now, she's been one of the most vocal, MAGA, loyal members of the House, criticizing the White House and suggesting that they need to put all of these papers out there because otherwise people are going to start thinking there's a cover-up underway. What was discussed at this meeting, we do not know. But the fact that that it was held in the Situation Room, you know, one of the most secure rooms in the White House, with the Attorney General and the FBI Director, as well as Donald Trump talking to her, that is raising all sorts of questions about how much pressure she was being put under, or she was being asked to put on other wavering Republicans in the House of Representatives to abandon their calls for all of these documents to be made public. So lots and lots of questions swirling over all of this tonight. But Melania Trump at the White House tomorrow alongside her husband.
I wonder if she'll have her shades on. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, thank you so much for that comprehensive roundup on that breaking news. The government shutdown after 42 days in America is over, but the pain for many Americans will go on. It doesn't, of course, fast track back up immediately.